Once you're done with your fear, with your inventory of who you're mad at, and as I said, that is the hardest thing for doing the steps, that fourth column. As a newcomer, the first time you do it, it's really, really difficult. That's why you need a step sponsor to take you through. But as time goes on, you get better. And the cool part is once you get to step 10, you're going to have a chance to do a four-step inventory at least 20 times a day for the first 3 months. Okay, so what happens is as soon as you're done with that one inventory, you move on to your fears. Now, the thing also is when you do your resentment inventory, any time you have checked off that you're frightened as one of the character defects, add those things onto your fear inventory. Like, what are you afraid of that make you check off fear? I'm afraid I won't get money. I'm afraid people won't like me. I'm afraid my sister will get more money than I'd like. Well, you write down what actually you're afraid of. Also, what you're going to do is you're going to be very, very specific about what you're afraid of. I'm afraid of being lonely. I'm afraid of growing old. I'm afraid of losing my job. I'm afraid of, like, whatever you're afraid of. And it could be something really little or it could be big. And the thing that you're going to find is that we're really, really fearful about just about everything. Yeah. So, again, we're going to do this thing. I'm going to use one that's very, very specific. But I'm going to have everybody else, you know, just, and not your biggest fear also, because for learning, you never go with your biggest thing first. Okay, so, again, I apologize to anybody who has heard this one before. I'm afraid of some guy jumping in my car with a knife, taking me to a deserted area, torturing, raping, and killing me. Okay, the very specific fear. Okay. Okay. And
afraid I won't get a job.
Someone else?
My favorite is finding a snake in my garden.
Snake. Okay, anyone else?
Car fire.
Say that again?
Car fire.
Okay,
and having enough money to live.
Bankruptcy.
Yeah.
So losing a child.
Money
in
general.
Yeah, that's a big one.
And what I'm going to throw on here,
losing a loved
instead
one?
Of not having money, because that'll pretty much fall over not getting a job, what I want to throw in here, because this one most people are, is being alone.
Yeah.
Okay? Okay, now everybody write down the column one, not your biggest fear. And believe it or not, this is not my biggest fear. write down a fear that you have. And again, very, very concise. You know, just a couple of words, because again, nobody's ever going to see this. Okay, column two, why am I afraid? Well, this could be done two ways. One is that, has this ever happened to me? And the answer is no. Well, I'm still here, so no, it didn't happen. But why am I afraid? Because I heard when I was first trying to drive that girls would pull over to the rest stop on Route 80 and guys would jump in their car and this would be the result of it. And that put a fear into me. So that could be why I'm afraid, because I heard that it happened and I sort of internalized it and became afraid that it would happen to me. Or I could be more specific as to why my life would be over, I would be hurt, I would, you know, like all like the stuff that's not good. That might be what, but what I'm going to put down for me is the reason, because I heard about it and internalized it. Okay, why are you afraid of not getting a job?
Be homeless.
Okay, any other reasons?
Have to live with my mother.
I'm missing your fear.
And something happens when you want to get your they will lead to other ones. I'm afraid of living with my mother. Okay.
And my sister.
Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid of a snake, finding a snake in your garden?
Because we've had some.
But what's so scary about it? I mean, I know they're there, but are you afraid that they'll bite you? That,
yes,
what actually are you afraid? And what's the consequence of them biting you?
I'm dying.
Well, maybe not if they're not poisonous. New Jersey hardly has poisonous snakes.
I'm just like frightened of
bees. Okay, so yes, fear inventory, I'm afraid of snakes, okay? Okay, but here's the thing that you'll eventually get to when you're doing this, and for just learning, it's like just because you've seen them before. But I see this chair, and I've seen thousands of chairs, and I'm not afraid of it, neither you. There's a reason that there's something that you think a snake is going to do to you that makes you afraid of it. So think about
it's
that.
It's going to like crawl on me or something.
Okay, but what happens? No, but no judgments here. But what about them crawling on you is so frightening.
Why don't you want to think about it?
Okay, but why don't you want to, no, because this is what, you have all these layers of stuff, and the steps is the same that you're getting down to, like the question, what actually are you afraid of about the snake?
When I lived in Israel, I used to take sheep out to graze, and I was all by myself, and there's like these snakes, these dangerous puff adder snakes. So I was afraid that I was going to be like all by myself, and I would be just,
you were going to die.
And a snake would bite me, and I would die.
Okay, so that's why you're afraid of seeing a snake in your garden, because it could be poisonous and you could die. And that's really what you're afraid of, not that you're going to see a snake, it's the consequences of seeing it.
Why
are
you afraid of this?
Okay, why are you afraid of
carbine? Well, I thought it was just because I see so many on the side of roommate, but I guess it's also the fear of death, or fear of being maimed, or, you know, horrible, painful chapter.
Okay, so maimed, hurt, or die. Okay, you're afraid. Why? Okay, and being alone. What's so bad about being alone?
Nothing.
Well, you know, that's because you're recovering. But you're recovering. You can actually say, but somebody who actually has a fear of being alone.
Not having somebody take care of you.
Or even the idea that there's no one in your life. That there's nobody to do stuff with, really there's no one who cares about you, that kind of stuff. Okay, that kind of stuff.
Which person?
Oh, for being alone, not having someone to take care of you, not having somebody in your life to do stuff with, not having somebody to love you, not having somebody to do stuff with. Okay. Here's the truth. Oh, I'm sorry, Dolores, go ahead. Do you have a question?
Being alone is where the thing is not ending up like my mother.
Okay, and that's a perfect reason for being afraid of that, because your mom was alone, is alone, right? Mm-hmm. And you see how horrible that is, or to you, because you've attached a judgment to being alone as something horrible. Okay, nothing wrong with that. Remember, inventories are not anything good or bad. The truth is, the reason that we're afraid is because we're relying on ourselves and these different parts that we think will protect us, okay? And the whole truth of the matter for column 3 is just a yes or no answer. Oh, and I'm sorry, please write down in column 2 why you're afraid, okay? Mm-hmm. For column 3, all it is a simple question, which comes right out of the big book. Either God is or he isn't. Either God is doing this or he's not. I'm afraid because I rely on my weak self, who doesn't know how to do anything, and just basing it on me being self-centered and selfish and self-seeking. If I rely on God and really believe that he's strong enough and powerful enough to take care of me, do I have to be afraid? And right now the answer is, we'll get to that after, but the question is, do I realize that I rely on myself rather than my higher power?
Yes.
And if you can say, you either just check off yes or no. And the real answer is, yeah, when I depend upon myself, and I know that I fail at a lot of things, I can't really keep myself protected based on my character defects. Okay? Column 4. This is a little bit different. A lot of people don't do this, but this is what I was taught and it worked really well for me. What can I do to make sure that what I'm afraid of in column 1 doesn't happen? So for me, to being afraid of a guy jumping in my car, what I can do is keep the doors locked, don't pick up hitchhikers, make sure my car is in good working order so that I don't have to pull it to a rest stop, right? That I get enough sleep so I don't have to stop and sleep on the side of the road. Okay?
You have full tank gas?
Full tank of gas, yeah. You know, there's a whole bunch of things. Okay, so what I'll have you do is real quick, just write down what you think you can do, some kind of action plan. If you take these steps, if you do these things, what you're afraid of in column 1 won't happen.
When I walk in the woods,
How do you avoid a car fire?
How do you answer the question? If I told you I'm afraid of my car catching on fire, what would you tell me to do to make sure that my car doesn't catch on fire?
Well, it's easy to avoid
everywhere,
I guess.
But
make sure
not
to
disturb
us. Well, that won't stop it from Getty's Plains.
Make sure your lungs are out. Drive 5 car lengths to hide the person so you don't get in an accident.
Yes, I don't know why. It's just irrational. I just see cars running on the road and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so afraid of dying.
But if you stop and you think, why are they on fire? They just, it isn't that awesome they're driving, their car just catches on fire. They've either done something crazy to be in a car accident, they either have a check with fluids and the car just overheats it, you know. So what do you have to do to make sure your car doesn't catch on fire? And maybe staying out of an accident. It could even be not driving. I mean, your action plan here is just what possible things you can do. It doesn't matter if they're rational or not. It's just like, if you didn't get in a car ever again, and I'm not telling you that's your solution, because what happened is then you're not relying on yourself and not God to keep you safe. But if you didn't drive in a car, what are the chances of being in a car fire? Nil. Right. If you're afraid of flying and you never get on a plane, what are the chances of you being in a plane crash?
Right.
Nil. You're never going to be on a plane.
Yeah.
Okay. What are the chances of you? I'm afraid of getting divorced. If you never get married, what are the chances of you ever being divorced?
See, they seem so easy.
Only because I've done it. And it doesn't even matter if it's irrational. It's just, what can you possibly do that would keep this from happening? So, what would you have to do to pretty much make sure that you would not have a job?
Well, I thought maybe it should be, instead, I'm afraid of losing my house, is what I'm afraid of.
Can we stick with losing and not getting a job?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, there we go. Okay. Okay. And that's fine, because that is...
So, what would you have to do to make sure that you either get another job or keep a job? What would you have to do to make sure that... Or to get a job. What do you have to do to get a job?
Look at all different choices of jobs.
Okay, send resumes out.
Yes.
Go on interviews.
Network.
Resume.
Right.
Keep your skills up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Find new skills.
Okay. Whatever you would have to do, you know, mention in a meeting, hey, I need a job. Somebody might need a secretary, somebody may need an assistant, somebody, I need a sponsor. I mean, whatever it is that you need. If it turns out that you need a job, you just announce it.
Del's job's going to be open.
Yeah.
Del's job's going to be
It's like, you know, it's just not having any kind of plan, even if it's an off-the-wall plan, is what keeps you in fear, because you don't know what to do, okay? Not going garden. Okay, for a car fire, what could you do to make sure that you're not in a car fire?
Good maintenance.
Okay.
Keep a fire extinguisher.
Well, but that's after the fact. That wouldn't stop the fire.
Right. That's it. She wants it to not happen.
And by the time that you did all this, read the instructions, did it, you'd be dead.
It'll be already dead. Don't get in a car.
Okay, but for you, like, right, doing your maintenance, would that be enough for you to say, oh, I probably won't be in a car fire? Drive carefully.
I wouldn't say drive. I mean, if it's accidentally, you know. I just don't stop to think of why these cars on the side of the road are.
Well, you know what? And now, but here's. Well, now you will stop and think, and then you'll be able to realize, oh, this is probably why it happened, and then you'll be able to take corrective action.
Don't on the internet a car fire and see how they can be prevented.
Okay, so, and being alone, what does somebody have to do not to be alone? Call people, go out to dinner. Your organization, service, trips, match.com. Okay? And then, lot more time, and we still have another inventory of the rest of us. That's okay. Column B. If you found yourself in this situation, what would you do to get out of it? Guy jumps in my car. I immediately crash my car into the nearest telephone pole or tree. He can't take me to a deserted place then.
Okay.
On his side?
Crash car. I already have my seatbelt on because I do the what I'm supposed to do. He goes flying to the windshield because I slam on the What would you do?
Bring in more, what are they called? Roommates.
Yay.
Boarders.
No, but that's because you're afraid of not having, that's on the home one. This is about getting a job.
Getting a job?
What would you do if you found you didn't have a job? You'd look on the internet, you'd send out more resumes, you'd talk to people. And a lot of times your column A and B will match. Not always, but sometimes. So the same thing that you know, she would just send out resumes.
I guess she
more networking.
Oh, that's online.
Yeah, it's two columns. It's like, what do I do to make sure? Right, and you could even beg. Okay. column A is what do I have to do to make sure this doesn't happen? And column B is if I found myself in this situation, what do I do to get out of it? Okay, so if you find that you're in the garden and there's a snake, what do you do?
Run
like hell. Don't fail me now.
If you're in a car and it catches on fire, what do you do? You could also, as part of your preventative thing, buy clothes that are fire resistant. And what do you have to do to make sure if you find yourself lonely? You call people, you invite them to dinner, you invite them to lunch, you go to a meeting. There's a whole bunch of stuff that if you found you're lonely, you can do to connect to people. And again, the most important thing, column five, what character defect would keep you from doing what you need to do in column four? So for me, not locking my doors and not keeping my car maintained or guessing it, that would be my all-time favorite of being lazy. What would keep me from crashing the car? Being fearful, being stupid, being arrogant, being whatever it is. And, you know, like there's a bunch of character defects that would keep me from crashing my car, but the main thing is that I'm not taking care of myself. You know, that for some reason I'm worried about somebody else. Or if I was materialistic, that I don't want to have to get a new car. Okay? But I mean, and sometimes what you'll find is the character defects are kind of weird. But for me, the main thing is me being lazy would keep me from doing this stuff. What would keep you from sending out resumes, learning new skills?
Procrastinate.
Okay.
Lazy.
Okay, what would keep you from carrying a stick, wearing big boots, or not going in your garden? Okay, and we're joking about it, but that's absolutely true. I'm not going to wear these big, ugly fireman boots because they just don't look nice on my beautiful legs. Okay, what?
At Walmart, now I know I'm going to get
And what would keep you from maintaining your car and driving safely?
Catherine's like lack of money. That's not character defect.
A willingness to spend money.
Stubbornness. Actually, it would be thrifty's not the right word.
Cheap.
But this is your inventory. What would keep you from maintaining your car and driving safely?
Stupidity.
Okay.
I think the only one is.
What's a nicer word than stupidity?
Ignorance.
Laziness. Okay, and what would keep people from calling
procrastination? Making appointments, taking it to the mechanic.
Okay, and what character defects would keep people from calling somebody, asking them to go out to dinner. Their low self-esteem. Okay.
That's not a defect.
Low self-esteem is a character defect.
What about isolation or?
No, no, but this inventory, you're not, this is for your other inventories. Column 3 here is only, are you relying on God or yourself? There is nothing with self. You're not afraid because of any of these things. You may be afraid of not having money that would eventually affect your pocketbook, and then you'll be mad at people because they're affecting your pocketbook, but you're not afraid of your pocketbook, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
This is like an action.
Perfect. Okay, so this is the way that this works. Again, that all-inclusive column 5, because it's the character defects that are causing problems. The great part about doing the fear inventory this way is the first thing is that you're going to, in step 7, start doing the opposite of the character defects and ask God to remove these. So, you know, if I'm not lazy, I'll be able to do these things. If I'm not a procrastinator and lazy, then I would send out a resume and stuff. If I didn't have vanity, I would wear the boots. If I wasn't lazy and a procrastinator, I would maintain my car. If I wasn't fearful, had low self-esteem, and I say, except this is fear inventory, so you don't really have to say fear. If I wasn't, had low self-esteem and an isolator, I would be calling people. The true thing about being, this thing about being lonely, in this room there's at least 30 people here. You have their numbers on the We Care list. If you called each of these people and said, Betsy, I want to meet you for dinner the first of each month. Risa, I want to meet you the second. Donna, the third. Miriam, the fourth. You only have to see me once a month, so I'm not becoming a pain in the neck. But every day for 30 days, I have somebody to have dinner with.
Yeah,
and if somebody misses...
You have to go to IHOP if you're going out with her.
Right. Ever have to be alone, ever. There's always somebody there who will talk to you, and there's always somebody there that has a problem that you can listen to. I mean, granted, people don't want to listen to it, but once in a while it's okay. There's always somebody there for you, and you can go to a meeting, you can make a phone call, you can do service, you can invite somebody to dinner, you can invite somebody to sleep at your house.
It's also, and this is just my interpretation of it, is to join maybe another support group.
Join groups.
Someone that's
join
going groups. Through, yeah. I don't think compulsive order either.
Any group. The seniors have trips. If you like to walk, there's yes. hiking clubs. If you like to do collect stamps, I mean, there are so many clubs out there. No one ever really has to be alone. You find what you like to do, you look on the internet, you can find anything on the internet, no matter what you want to do. There's always something. Okay, so here's the way the fear inventory works. What I realize is that most of the time, you had the snake thing, but most of the time what we're afraid of has not happened to us. And the way that life really works, what you're afraid of is never going to happen. You're going to get blindsided by stuff you never even thought of happening. So all our fears are just based on our own heads making us crazy. The thing about doing the fear inventory is that if I do these things, if I keep my doors locked, if I don't pick up hitchhikers, if I keep my car in good working order, if I make sure I have a full tank, if I get enough sleep so I don't have to pull over, and if somebody jumps in my car, if I immediately crash it so they can't take me to a deserted spot, do I still have to be afraid of this?
No.
No, I have an action plan that as long as I do these things, I'm going to be okay. And the only thing that's stopping me from doing it is my character defect of being lazy. You had a question.
I wonder, you know, I don't have that fear, but I do see a lot of commercials on TV that, because crashing a car is so drastic. I see these commercials where the GPS in the car
But for me, because this is my inventory, yeah. For you, the GPS may be fine. You press the button, your OnStar sends help immediately. For me, my first reaction, which is now automatic because it's been 10 years that I've had this plan in my head, not that I think about it all the time, but for me, this was the thing that made me feel safe. And the whole thing is to feel safe.
And also, once you do your steps and you hook up with your high power, you realize 10-step promise, safe and protected, as long as I don't have the character defect of being arrogant and thinking just because I'm safe and protected, I can do stupid stuff and put myself in weird situations.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. And for the stuff, because I just made a list of fears, for the stuff that has already actually happened, does that belong on resentment list?
And what you're mad about it. Remember, resentment is that you're mad about it. Fear, and sometimes a lot of the stuff will be on resentment and fears, right. And some of them will even be on hearts.
I'm looking down the list, and most of these things I no longer have, like, they don't belong on my resentment list, but they're still on my fear list.
Okay, and then you just have to figure out, why are you still so afraid? And the consequence is probably that you're afraid you're going to die, or you're going to be in pain, or you're going to suffer.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if it's already happened.
If you're still fearing, it doesn't matter if it happened. If you're right, it's, as long as you're afraid, it goes on the list. Okay?
Just went the fear to add to that, losing my keys to the house or the car. Which I have done.
And what can you do to do that? You get the thing where you clap, you get an extra thing.
Set.
There's like extra set.
Or locking the keys in the car.
Right. I mean, there's things that you can do so you can stop being afraid. But there, it's also based on the character defect, unless there's like some kind of chemical or physical thing going on that... just not paying attention could be why someone loses the keys. And then it's just, like for me, I now have my keys always in the exact spot because I can't remember where I put them. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So what would stop me from going into the kitchen and putting them on the hook? So as long as I get rid of that character defect or act as if I'm the opposite, I walk in the house and it's a conscious effort to put my keys right where they belong. Okay, and that's the thing. So what happens in all of this is if you have your action plan of what you're going to do to make sure this doesn't happen, and what you're going to do if you find yourself in that situation, you no longer have to be afraid of this stuff. Okay? And that works for like 90% of the stuff. There's certain stuff, like if you're very sick or something, there might be some fears going on there. That's a little bit more than, except that, I shouldn't say that, because once you hook with your higher power, there's really nothing you're afraid of. You know, it's really weird. My biggest thing was how I was going to die and all that stuff like that. And it's so weird. My dad, who I get along with, really, we just had a conversation about death yesterday. And you want to know something? It was this really magnificent thing, because I think he has a feeling he's about, you know, like he's getting older and he's not feeling it. And so we have like these conversations, but there's not one thing about fear on his part on it, on my part about him dying, or even me dying. It's like really weird how this works. Once you hook up with your higher power, there's nothing that you ever have to be afraid of, because you know everything's going to be fine. Whether it's what you want or not. Okay, any questions about the fear inventory? Okay, we're going to move on to the harms one. And the harms ones are the easiest ones. Okay, what I'm going to do is, again, there's two inventories. We're only doing one. There's one where you're using sex, and that's where you got pregnant on purpose so somebody married you. If you were a guy, you said, oh, honey, if you love me, you would. If you cheated on your spouse, if you ever dated a married guy, if, I'm trying to think, if you ever flirted with somebody, if you stole a friend's boyfriend or girlfriend, you know, something where it involved the opposite sex, and it doesn't actually mean that you had to go to bed with the person, even though that's what most people have on their inventories. The other inventory is harms not using sex, and that's pretty much, you know, stealing stuff, being mean to somebody, you know, lying, cheating, stealing, just anything that, you know, talking about somebody behind your back, you know, any of what you're normal stuff, no, you just take it down. Okay. Okay. Everybody have a good one.
Does that have any objects?
I'm hoping she would have said.
It might be easier if you give us your emails. We email you if you want to email to us.
Perfect.
Type them all in and stuff. You could just hit reply.
Okay. Everybody have a pen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My email is AuntBabs, AuntBabs54, the year I was born, @yahoo.com. And just in the subject, just put send me the fifth step stuff and I'll send you everything.
And your email is also on
say
the
it again.
It's our, yeah, just say, send me the step stuff and I'll send you the stuff. Okay, so now, well, we're just going to do the one. The only difference between the regular harm inventory and the sex one is the sex one includes, did I create jealousy, bitterness, or suspicion? Okay? Okay, so again, we're just going to ask for some volunteers. I'll use my example. Who did I harm? A girl at school. Yeah, there's one using, you know, using sex and not and without sex.
We don't have excluding here.
They're back there. They're getting harmed.
Okay. So, on your inventory, write down somebody who you harmed. Not anything real big, like, you know.
With sex or without
it. Whichever one you want.
And it could be something you'll find your resentment to as well.
Well, that's where we'll go through when we get in the fifth, because the fourth column there could be some part that. Okay, in the first column, just list somebody who you're mad at. Oh, I'm sorry, a girl at school. It's fine.
I had a relationship with
sex. Okay, so who must be brave enough and tell me somebody they harmed?
I'll take the one. An agency lady that I had applied for.
No definition, just who the person is. Agency lady?
Agency lady.
Okay, remember it's. Okay. Eileen, did you want to put the girl at school for you?
I shoved her down the stairs.
Okay, but we didn't get to count to yet.
Stay away.
I was the
man to
see.
Girl at school. Anybody else have somebody they harmed?
The husband.
Husband?
Yeah.
Perfect. So. You're still married or no? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, he's cooking dinner tonight. A store.
Okay, do you want to name the store? We can see the
store. Several.
Okay, store.
But you're not a great teacher.
Okay, so what did I do to the girl at school? I flushed her clothes down the toilet during gym.
I was like, I made the mean girl.
Flush
it all? Oh, you're the one.
No, it sort of just clogged up, and then like she had to wear her ugly gym suit the rest of the day.
Oh my gosh. No judgment, though.
No, and actually, this is remember, nothing's good or bad. All you're doing is fact finding, and this is me, my disease. My number one character defect is mean spirited. Okay. What did you do to the agency lady?
I had someone else take the computer test for me.
Okay. Ooh. No judgment. Good step sponsor that when you give them your fifth, they don't go, oh my God!
See, now I have to react.
Okay, what did you do, Eileen? You pushed the girl down the steps?
Yeah, first grade.
So, first grade?
I'll have to introduce her to my ex husband. I pushed him down the place. What did you do to your husband?
I yell at him constantly.
Okay, and what did you do to the store?
Shoplifting.
No, but see, here's the
problem. I don't know all the fires.
Okay, now, this is the opposite of, no, because then she'd have a resentment. She got caught. Okay. This is the opposite of the resentment one. The resentment one, we're mad because stuff happened to us that affected our six parts of self adversely. We do harms to others because those six parts get stroked. Okay? So, again, one column at a time. Was my self-esteem embellished by flushing her clothes down? Yes. Having someone taking the test for you?
Yes.
Shoving someone down the steps?
That'll do it.
Yeah? Yelling at your husband?
Yes.
And stealing?
Yes.
Okay. Was my pocketbook increased by doing this? No. Yes. Having someone take the test for you? Shoving someone down the steps?
No.
Yelling at your husband?
No.
Gives you more money every time you yell? And stealing something?
Yes.
Okay. Was my emotional security increased? How safe I feel in this world? You betcha. If everybody was focused on her, nobody was saying anything about me. Having someone take a test for you. Shoving someone down the steps? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yelling at your husband?
Yes.
Okay. And stealing?
No. Okay. Being insecure.
Okay. My ambitions, my plans for the future. Flushing her clothes down? Yes. Because now I thought I would be popular. Someone taking the test for you? Yeah, because then you'll get the job. Shoving someone down the steps?
I marked the light. Nobody knew I did it. Nobody knew I did it.
Even better. Yelling at your husband and stealing.
Yeah, I think the thing you just said about being feeling popular because I was with other people.
Mm-hmm. And also, your ambitions, you now have more than you had before.
Right.
Okay, personal relationships. Yep. How about someone taking the test for you?
Mm-hmm.
Shoving someone down the steps?
Yeah.
Yelling at your husband?
Yes.
Stealing?
Yeah.
And then sex relations? No, too young.
No.
I didn't fool around until I was much older. No, oh gosh, now that's on tape. having someone to know. Shoving her down the steps? I mean, only guys didn't want you after that? Yelling at your husband.
Yes.
Okay, so you yell at him and then he has sex with you. Because remember, this is, it gets increased, not decreased.
Oh, increased. No.
Yeah, okay. And stealing? Okay. So it's good to make you popular.
Yeah.
And again, it's two parts. Column four is, what should I have done differently? I should have been nice to her. And not touched her clothes. Okay, what did you should have done instead of having someone else?
Taking the test myself.
What should you have done instead of shoving her down the steps, trying to kill her?
I should have been nice.
Okay. What should you do instead of yelling at your husband?
Be more considerate.
Okay. And what should you have done instead of yelling?
Paying for what I wanted?
Okay, I just have one more thing for you, though, Betsy. How can you be more considerate to your husband? Be more considerate. This is like past tense on this. Like, instead of yelling at your husband, what should you have done instead of yelling at him?
Think before I speak.
Okay, or maybe if you were yelling at him, it would have been better to, like, talk to him about it rationally?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, but it's your inventory,
yeah, no,
so...
No, that's right.
Okay, and then the second part is, what will I do in the future? And for me is, I will not use someone else to build my self-esteem. Okay, because that's all that was. I won't make somebody else feel bad so that I feel better. What are you going to do in the future when there's a test?
Take the test myself.
Yep, and study beforehand. Okay. What are you going to do instead of shoving somebody down?
Work on my own self-esteem.
Okay. Okay, now we're going to go back to that because that won't solve a problem for you, okay? What are you going to do in the future instead of yelling at your husband?
Think before I speak.
Okay. And then what are you going to do? Speak nicely?
Oh.
Okay. Because remember, it's the actions. Just thinking about what you're going to say isn't going to change anything.
Oh.
Okay? Because this is now your action plan. This is actually your ninth step, believe it or not.
Oh,
okay? Because everything on these inventories, once you're done with step four, you have everything you need for every other step. There's no more work here. Okay? Speak nicely. And what are you going to do instead of stealing?
I've got a couple things, but I don't know if they belong there. One is, for me, is separating the wants from the needs. Like, I wanted something, so I took it. If I was paying for it, I really didn't need it, so I probably wouldn't have wanted it. I don't know if that...
Okay, determine its value. Like,
yeah. Well,
okay,
yeah.
We could try that.
And don't do things to feel cool. Like, you know, it was kind of a bunch of girls doing it together, you know, and I got caught up in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't yield to peer pressure?
Yeah, maybe.
Does that make sense? Or
don't get the group mentality.
Okay.
Ignore, I think, what it was about.
Yeah, like group. Okay. Okay. Now, what happens is, again,
The reason I did this was because of character defects. For me, my biggest one, mean-spirited and inconsiderate. Why did you have someone, what character defect allowed you to let someone else take the test?
Fear.
Okay. What character defect allowed you to shove somebody down the steps?
Jealousy. She was so cute.
Okay. What character defect allows you to yell at your husband?
Selfish, self-seeking, and inconsiderate.
And what character defect allowed you to steal?
I think selfish, dishonest.
Okay. Done with your harms inventory. You're done, and you'll do the same thing with the sex inventory. You're done with all four inventories when you're done with this. Mm-hmm. Once you learn how to do that fourth column of the resentment one, these go so fast. So then you're done with all this stuff. You sit there quietly for half an hour and review the book, ask yourself, have you done the work necessary in the first four concepts? And if you have, then you reverse your resentment once, put a check mark next to anyone that hasn't gotten rid of the resentment. You call your step sponsor and say, I'm ready for step five. And this is where everything starts changing. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our thoughts. Here's the cool part about step five, and people do it differently. My step fives take about an hour. It's not only a step five, it's step five teaching six and seven and the beginning of eight. It takes less than an hour. It's not a psychiatry session. The exact nature of my wrongs are my character defects. When I tell you my character defects, I'm telling you the exact nature of my wrongs. I'm telling you my whole life story because each character defect has certain behaviors attached to them, and my life has been run by these defects. So if I say to my step sponsor, I'm dishonest, he already knows that I steal, he already knows that I lie, he already knows that I cheat. He doesn't need to know that I cheated at penny ante poker with my grandmother. He doesn't need to know that that I dated a married guy. He doesn't need to know that if I'm mean-spirited, he doesn't need to know every person I've been mean to. There's certain behaviors that go with every kind of character defect and also asset. So what happens is, step five is not a psychiatry session. I don't care who you're mad at. I don't really care what you did to anybody. I'm going to find out the things you did just before you do step nine. But what happens is, this is not to discuss your feelings. The steps have absolutely nothing to do with how you feel. Okay? It's not to learn how to deal with anything. It's used to look at what has been blocking you from God at a starting point where you can finally be rid of all the stuff that's making you unhappy. Okay? Step five, real easy. Okay? And I hear people say, I was with my sponsor for 3 days and I told them everything. I personally don't do it that way because I don't care. Step six, when Johnny made him have God remove all these defects of character. I forgot to mention that what I do in step five is they get out all their pages and pages of inventories and they read me their column five. Mean-spirited, 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 lazy, 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 dishonest, selfish, self-seeking. My step sponsor heard 37 pages of that for resentments, about 10 pages for fears, and about 86 pages of harms to others. And all I did was read character defects. What happens is when you start off, it just seems really weird because you're just mentioning them. And what happens is by the time you get to page 15 or 16 and you're reading the exact same ones over and over and over again, it actually becomes funny. But you still have to say every time you wrote it down. So me, I said mean-spirited close to 1,000 times. Wow. It sunk in. My problems have been caused by me being mean-spirited, by me being jealous, by me being lazy, by me being dishonest, by me just the five big ones that I had. Okay? Now that I've seen on paper that it's my character defects that are causing all these problems, do I want them to be gotten rid of?
Yeah.
And the answer is always yes. The thing, though, is that when you take step six for the first time, you think you're saying, I want to have them taken away. When you get to step 10, and they keep showing up, and you have to call your step sponsor with the character defect, which is a pain. They call me, they have to listen to five rings, then they have to listen to my, hi, it's Barbara, I'm not at home. And then just to say, hi, I'm calling to let you know I've been self-seeking, I've been insecure, I've been a people pleaser. And they're doing it, and it becomes a real pain in the neck. And this is what the steps are. Everything leads you into the next one. Because when you did your inventories and you got to write, to read out all the character defects, you are more than ready to do this. But what happens is when you get to step 10 and you're doing this 30 times a day, you finally say, please God, take these away. And then you're really doing a step 6. That's all there is to step 6. I'm tired of feeling this way based on these character defects. Okay, God, remove them. I can't remove them. Only He can. So how do you remove them? Step 7. Remember in step 3 you made a decision to turn your life over? Well, step 7 is the first time that you're actually going to do something about it. Step 7 prayer has a part in it, please God take all of me, good and bad. Okay? Even though there is no good or bad. You're a really good person. You have some character defects that make you do some things that may not be really nice, but you're still really not a bad person. You're offering yourself to God, take me with all my assets and my defects, and mold me into what you want. First time you're actually connected to Him, because you're now starting to get rid of your character defects and you can start seeing your way that there really is something out there. Because the truth in that is every step has a promise associated with it. And as you're doing this work, things in your life start changing for the better. You think you're going crazy because you're losing your mind. But what happens is everything around you starts getting better. People are nicer to you. Things in your life start happening. And your life still isn't perfect. And you're very aware of stuff, but you're noticing that things are getting better. So step 7. You don't finish step 7 before you move on to 8. This is ongoing. It's 9 years since I did my steps. I still do a step 7 quite often. What happens is, it's humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. So what I do is, the first time I'm doing step 7, and it's every morning, you got to wake up like 5 or 10 minutes earlier because you're now praying for the people you still resent. You're still doing whatever prayers you do in the morning. And now what you're going to do is you're going to ask your higher power, because He's the one who's going to get rid of the character defects, to take away the character defect and replace it with its opposite. So what you're going to do is you're going to take your four-step inventory, and you're going to go through column 5, and you're going to list all your character defects, only once for each, no matter how many times you read, and you're going to put it on the left side of a piece of paper. And then you're going to write your opposite, even though there's a list here if you get stuck, but really try and write your opposite of what it is. So here are my big ones. Okay, I'm judgmental. So I pray each morning, please God, stop me from being judgmental and teach me to accept others for who and what they are. Stop me from being jealous and teach me to be happy for others. Stop me from being mean-spirited and teach me to be kind. Stop me from being selfish and teach me to share with others. Stop me from being inconsiderate and teach me to be considerate. Stop me from being self-seeking and teach me to realize I have exactly what I need. Stop me from being frightened and teach me to realize I will be fine as long as I depend on you. I do this every morning for all the character defects. What happens by doing this is I become really aware of my character defects and their opposites. And so what I do is throughout the day, I pretend, I act as if I'm someone with these. I'm not going to all of a sudden do that the first day and all of a sudden all the character defects are gone. That's why there's a step 10. But what happens is I start noticing every time I'm dishonest. I see a pocketbook lying around and I think, ooh, let me take the money out of the wallet. And I stop myself, okay? I decide to call in sick to work when I'm not sick, even though I don't get sick days, but if I got sick days. And I don't do that because now I'm going to be honest. Whatever thought that goes through my head, based on the character defect of me being dishonest, I stop myself. Please, God, stop me from being this, teach me that, and then I act as if I'm someone who's honest, which means I don't touch that pocketbook, and I go into work or I take a vacation day. I start, because what happens is these start becoming really objectionable. They don't all get removed right away. It takes about 3 months of being in step 10 to notice that most of them are gone except for the top ones. But what happens is God won't remove them until He knows that you have a replacement for it. One of the rules of nature. Nature abhors a vacuum. These won't disappear until something replaces it. And God won't remove it until he knows you can do the... So, like, until I stop, have enough practice of being an honest person, he won't remove my dishonesty. Because if he removes it, what's going to take its place? Something... You drop the food, you have to replace it with something else. And here we learn to replace it with God. People are now are alcoholics. They replace it with smoking, with drinking coffee. With something. There's always a replacement until you learn to replace it with the right thing, which is God. Okay, so that's the way step seven works. You're going to do this every morning. Okay? And as they start disappearing, you don't have to say them in the morning, just when they rear their ugly heads. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them. You're going to take your harms inventory. You're going to take every person that you listed, and you're going to put on an index card the person's name and what you did to them. One card per person per harm. Okay? And there's your list. You don't even have to stop and think. What you're also going to do is go back to your resentment inventory and look at your column for your part. Not all of them, but some of them may be, your part may be a harm to somebody, if you add it to this list, you know, to your index cards. What you're going to do then is, and all that step eight is that you're going to become willing to make amends. Doesn't mean you're going to go and take it. Before, you can't go out and do step nine until you've done one through eight properly. You're going to cause more harm, okay, because you're not... mentally or emotionally fit to go up and apologize to somebody, and then they start telling you what you did wrong. You're not capable of handling that because you still have all these character defects. Okay? At this point, when they're done making up their column, they call me, we get together. And we get them ready for step nine. The biggest rule of step nine is that you don't cause any new wreckage. Okay? The other thing, okay, so step nine is made direct amends to such people wherever possible except when to do so would injure them or others. The thing that I was taught is that saying I'm sorry is not an amend. Some people need to hear you say you're sorry, okay? The amend is really that I'm going to change my ways so I don't cause the harm again, okay? As the woman who started the no-nonsense sharing stuff said, if her husband said to her, if you push me out a window and you say you're sorry, I'm still going to hit the ground and die. Okay, so it's stopping the action that's causing this. So what happens, people get to come there and we separate the cards into ones that are easy to make, ones that I feel I'm never going to make, ones that I need to make but are hard, ones that I can't find the people because they're dead or I don't know where they are, and ones that they would cause harm to people. One just little note about making amends to yourself. Two things. On my four-step inventories, I don't list any character assets. My assets have never caused me harm. And what this is to find what blocked me. Step nine, I don't apologize to myself. I could spend years apologizing to myself. What I was told to do was just go and look in the mirror and say, I'm sorry for every stupid, foolish, harmful thing I've ever done to you. And in the future, I'm only going to do what's good for us. Boom, taken care of. Step nine, we start going through, and this is where we sit and you tell me what you've actually done, okay? But it's very concise. It's just who you hurt and what you did, and we go through. Does the person need to hear an apology? And if so, how are you going to make that? More importantly, what restitution are you going to make? If you took money from somebody, you're going to pay them back. My grandmother, I'm sorry I cheated at penny ante poker. Every time we got together, here's the $3 that I stole. More importantly, I'm never going to cheat at cards. I'm not going to be a dishonest person anymore. So cheating isn't even something I would ever think of doing again. So that's more important. So my grandma, my daughter definitely needed to hear me say I'm sorry. Spouses need to hear. It all depends upon what is. And the rule here basically is you make them as long as they don't cause harm. And the whole purpose of making amends, it's not so the person likes you again, has nothing to do with them. These inventories have nothing to do with anybody else. It's just so that if there's somebody you harmed and you walked into this room and they were sitting here, would you feel uncomfortable? This whole program is for you to feel comfortable in your own skin and in this world. So if there's somebody that if they were sitting here and you came in front of them that you would feel uncomfortable, you need to say, I'm sorry. As long as it doesn't cause harm. So step nine is more, what do I have to do to change my way so I stop causing this harm? And what do I need to do to just set things right with the people who I harm, as long as it doesn't hurt them? Nine sounds like it's really hard. Most people are afraid to do this. But once you've done the previous eight steps and you're carrying this stuff around, you're just itching to find these people and do it. And some people you may not know where they are. And so what happens is if you're supposed to make an apology to them, all of a sudden, miraculously, they appear in front of you. It's the or something will be said by somebody who you're thinking, oh, maybe I shouldn't say something, I'll harm them. It'll work. It works out beautifully. You become connected to your higher power, and your gut instinct is always right. And you learn to trust him and this program, and you start learning to trust yourself. Once you do this, all the 9-step promises start happening. You're thinking totally different. That's why everything happens. And one of the ones that I love the best is fear of economic insecurity will leave us. It doesn't mean you're going to be rich. It means you're going to stop being afraid of being poor. And as such, you'll act as somebody who's like, there's abundance and you'll make things happen. When you act out of fear, you just kill every opportunity you ever could have to make things better. So now, once you do these, now you move into the ones that keep you spiritually fit. These are really everything that you've done is to get you to these three. Well, actually, everything you do is to get you to step 12. But step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, immediately admit it, even though I added that immediately. Step 10 is, I look at Eleanor and I say, oh, I don't like your necklace, even though I love it. And I just harmed her. And I feel bad. I feel guilty that I said something mean. Immediately, I do step 4, the inventory. I can write it down or I can do it. I write, I harmed Eleanor by saying her necklace is ugly. I did it because whatever. What should I have done differently? What am I going to do in the future? I look at the character defect. I do step 5. I admit to somebody what the character is. 6, do I want God to remove it? 7, I act as if I'm not mean-spirited. And so now I'm going to be nice to everybody saying stuff. 8, did I harm her? Yeah, I sure did. She loves that necklace. As long as it's not harming her, I go up to her and I say, Eleanor, I'm really sorry I said that. I shouldn't have said anything. I really love everything about you. Boom, it's done. I don't have to carry it with me. If I'm mad at somebody, I do the resentment one. If I'm fearful, I do it. And one thing is I hear people say, oh, I do my nightly 10th step. That's step 11. If you read the Bible, there's a whole instruction on how you live your day. Step 10 is immediately, the second you are angry, fearful, or harm somebody, you do steps 4-9. You don't always have to do 8-9. It's only if you harm somebody as a result of it. This is continuous. And when you first start doing it, your higher power, who's so magnificent, will give you so many opportunities to keep doing this. It starts off the first day, and this is how I know somebody's really doing 10 properly. If I don't come home from work and find at least 17 messages from them saying, oh, I was this, I was that, I know they're really not doing it. And they think they're bothering me, but I'm not even answering the phone until I get home. This is what you're supposed to do, is consciously do step 4-9, and part of that is step 5. Once you get to this point, after about 3 months, the character defects, most of them are gone. Some of them stay or rear their ugly heads once in a while. And you go from having to do 20 to 30 a day to maybe 10 a day to one a day to once a week to once a month, and then just sporadically. Once that happens, now you're able to do what you said you were going to do in step 3. You're able to finally turn yourself over to your higher power. You've gotten rid of all the stuff that blocks you off. So step 11 is sought through prayer and meditation to prove our conscious contact with God as we understand him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Also step 11 says you wake up in the morning and pray, you know, that you be divorced of selfish thinking. How can you help other people? At night you review your day just to not to see where you've been bad, but what could you have done a little bit better? So you can act as if your way into being even better, even though by this time you're magnificent. Okay, this is a step where I'm actually ready to give up my control of my life. When I reach this point, I don't pray that somebody who's sick gets better. I don't pray to win the lottery. I don't pray for anything. I basically have 3 prayers. Before I speak, I say, use me. I always get emotional, sorry. All I do with everything is thank you, a constant thank you for a safe drive to work, that my car didn't catch on fire. Thank you for my job, thank you for the people I just talked to, thank you for my phone, thank you for the food. Like everything I do, I can be grateful for. And the only real prayer I have is, what do you want me to do and give me the strength to carry it out? Because I am no longer in control. I've gotten rid of all the crap that blocked me off from him. And as I start emerging into step 11, what happens is I get signs that are so clear. I always use this analogy. I'm on the yellow brick road going to Oz. it is so clear the path I'm supposed to follow. And if I follow that path, I get to Oz, where I become everything I want to be. But if I veer off it, I get the winged monkeys, and I get the poppy seeds and all the other horrible stuff that happens. But it becomes so clear, and as long as I keep following what I'm being told to do, and it's very, very subtle, I have to really listen and pay attention. Every time I do it, I get rewarded. I feel really good, or something good happens. And when I don't listen, the lesson comes back, but a little bit not as nice, until it's really, he doesn't hit me, he doesn't punish me, but it starts off really little, and it keeps getting louder until I finally listen. The other thing that happens in step 11 is once you finally got rid of the character defects, so now your head is not filled with, I'm mad at this one, and how could they do this, and all this other stuff. You actually get to hear like what we did for the writing workshop. What is my lie and what is my truth? When you get rid of all the garbage that's in your head based on character defects, you get to hear what tapes have been playing in your head since you're 3 years old, and they're all lies. Mm-hmm. And once you get rid of that, now you are an open channel, an open vessel for your higher power to come and use you. And the truth is, he really does. Then my favorite of all, step 12, having had a spiritual awakening. Now, Bill changed that. It used to be having a spiritual experience. As soon as you get to step 12, as soon as you finish step 11, where you are so connected, you know that you no longer just have an awakening, you've just had a spiritual experience. You are so connected. And it's a feeling, like if you're a grandmother, you can't explain to somebody what it feels like to see that kid for the first time. First time you have sex, you can't explain it to somebody. There's certain things that you can't explain. It's like when you have a spiritual experience, you can't explain that to anybody, but that you know you have it. Once that happens, you can't help but carry this message. And the message is not, I have a diet for you and I can show you a way to get skinny. Because by this time, food means nothing. A 10-step promise, you're done with food. Food's no longer your problem. You still have to stick to some kind of food plan and stay away from the stuff that makes you crazy. And there's like, you know, it's really nice to go to the meetings and do the stuff that keeping behind you who and what you are. But the focus is no longer on the food. The focus becomes, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. This is as a result of doing the previous 11 steps. You have to do the 11 steps in order to get 12. And then you have the proper message to give to a newcomer or anybody else who is that you connect with God and you're going to be okay. We're pretty much just out of time. The only thing I wanted to say on this is by the time you reach 12, you now have become your character assets. And as a result of that, you become what on page 69 calls the ideal you. You are now who your higher power meant you to be, a kind, patient, tolerant, loving person who's comfortable in their own skin, comfortable in this world. It feels fantastic. Don't take me.